State lawmakers are considering a bill that would add a new tax on soda, maybe some juice, to pay for free meals in schools. And somebody who is a friend of ours and also the political reporter for News 8, he was up at the Capitol talking to both sides about this new proposal, getting a lot of reaction. Mike Cerulli is here. Hey, Mike.
Good morning. You just had a bit of a Canadian aboot. You were like talking aboot.
Did I? You know, you're not the first person this week to say that. Yeah. Eric called me out earlier this week that I said, hey. Like, I was like, oh, I'm coming over, eh? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on for some reason.
But yeah, we were talking about the
Was it really that bad?
We'll get the playback.
Yeah, right. We'll have to do that. But there is a lot of reaction to this. Obviously, a very divided conversation. First of all, let's talk about which drinks we're talking about, so people understand what would be taxed.
Yeah. So essentially, anything you drink that has added sugars or sugar substitutes in it. So you're talking basically the whole soda aisle. You're talking a lot of the juice aisle, because a lot of the juice aisle does have added sugars.
Sure.
You're talking power drinks, you know, sports drinks, Gatorade, Powerade. What you aren't talking about is milk-based beverages, so chocolate milk. Was at Arethusa Farms the other day, that?
I was going to say, my son is a huge chocolate milk fan. Milk, that's not going to go well if we had to...
Milk and dairy products carved out.
Okay.
Pure fruit and vegetable juice, so obviously pure fruit juice does have some natural sugars in it. That's fine. Okay. Won't be taxed. And then infant formula. And what they
call. But not alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol's taxed under a whole different. That's a whole nother fun.
That's a whole
scheme
thing.
About how they tax alcohol, the sale and distribution of alcohol and production of alcohol. That's a whole.
You're like, don't touch
you
that,
have
Melissa. Let's not even go there.
There are people who are experts in that whole world.
And how that's being handled. Okay, fine. Yeah. I'll believe you on that, Mike Cerulli. But what I was curious about, honestly, is are there enough people buying those products to actually get a significant... I mean, when I look at this report, they are... The goal, obviously, is to raise money to cover free meals in schools.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch. And I'm going to ask you about that as well. But $110 million a year to provide those free meals. Do we have enough consumers that buy those products to actually see this covered every year?
Well, and this is a, I think, core question about this from a public policy angle, because the proponents of this bill, on the one hand, will say this is a good public health measure because it's going to deter people from drinking soda. And on the other hand, they say this is going to help us fund free universal school lunches.
Right.
Now, those two things, if you're a government, right, if you're a lawmaker, if you're the governor, if you're a mayor, when you're planning for any type of funded proposal, you want consistent revenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's this whole conversation we have about the guardrails with volatile revenue.
Right.
If you have a tax in place where the intention of the tax is to decrease the sale of the taxed item,
it's negating it. It's canceling it out, it feels like.
And one of the representatives who I spoke to, who is a big proponent of this measure, says, look, they've tried it in other places, like cities, like Philadelphia have tried it. And she was saying what they see is a drop-off and then a taper, like a kind of a plateau.
So at first, people sort of get away from it, but eventually they're gonna go back to it.
Well, not necessarily that they go back to it, but that eventually, and the joke is, you take someone like me, you know, I am what economists like would call price inelastic, meaning my demand for something does not change based on price when it comes to Diet Coke.
Right. Well, that's how I feel about Celsius. That's why I was asking you about
10 bucks a can, and I'm still going to be lining up.
You're still going to buy it.
So what they're basically, the proponents say is, okay, our kind of casual drinkers, their behavior will be modified by this tax, and then we'll whittle it away to just the people who are kind of core demand, and then we'll see the revenue kind of plateau.
Okay.
Now,
but they feel like that core population that you and I, we're not going to change. I'm always going to be buying my Celsius because I don't drink coffee. That's always going to be something I do. You are always going to buy your Diet Coke regardless of a tax. That's enough of a population that we can keep this funded,
I suppose. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know what they expect the taper off to be.
Mm.
I don't know what beverage and restaurant sellers might do to find creative ways to circumvent this. You know, for example, one of the things that I asked is, I said, okay, so if you go to Starbucks and you order like one of those crazy things, drinks or whatever, and it has sugar in it, like that's going to be subject to the tax. And they're like, yes, because if you're pumping it out of a syrup thing, the syrup bag is taxed. I'm like, well, what about if you have like a coffee, you are at a diner and you order a black coffee and you put like Splenda in it? They're like, we don't think that would fall in this because the item is actually just the Splenda packet. It's not a like a drink. It's not a powder or a syrup or an actual.
So they're not. Well, it would be like if you went down the baking aisle. They're not going to tax the sugar. They're taxing the sodas or the drinks that have it already in there. You're saying. Okay.
And like you could imagine a couple scenarios. One, I was at. We've all been to coffee shops where the hazelnut pumper thing is out in the retail area, meaning it's not something that's done behind the counter. So then the bag of syrup that's in there, we assume that that has sugar or sugar substitutes in it.
Right.
That will be taxed. So then how do you distribute the cost of that tax?
Right.
You distribute it to the black coffee drinkers too, meaning the people who drink their coffee black.
Right.
Or do you, and the people who are going over there for the pump of hazelnut or the pump of caramel or whatever it is. Because people aren't always necessarily honest.
Do you do the honest system there? Is that a loophole?
So there's a lot of questions, I think, about, like, how you would implement. And then, like, why? I mean, I understand there's a body of scientific research out there about the health effects of artificial sweeteners. But we'll just take one that's, I think, widely considered to be healthier than some of the, like, a stevia.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that less? What is the public health negative impact of something that has zero calories? And I don't know if stevia has zero calories, but I'm still, you know, diet Coke.
I know what you're saying,
you know
though.
What I mean?
How do you weigh that? It's complicated. I had Mike Cerulli check. I'm not 100% sure. I guess I'd have to look at the ingredients a little closer with my Celsius, but I'm going to make an educated guess that that would also be one of those taxed items, Mike Cerulli, because it's in the soda aisle. It's an energy drink. I have to imagine there's something in there that's artificial.
I know is that I thought it was funny. Obviously, there are fewer lobbies more powerful than the beverage lobby, not just the alcohol lobby, which is very influential, but Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and there was the lobbyists who have Monster Energy as a client.
Sure.
So I'm going to assume if it affects Monster Energy,
it probably will with Celsius. We're talking about this consideration of a bill that would add a new tax on soda products, juice products. These are sweetened beverages, syrups, powders, and the goal is to raise enough money to cover the $110 million a year needed to provide free breakfast and lunch to all students, right?
Yeah.
Mike? Okay.
Yeah, universal. On the basis that, and there is a legitimate argument here, there's a whole body of work in the public policy research field that says means testing social services actually, in many cases, adds bureaucracy and decreases effectiveness. You may have people who are kind of on the cusp of needing or not needing a lot of paperwork. The means testing sometimes gets in the way of delivering the goal. On the other hand, there is another legitimate argument that says, okay, a kid who's buying like juice with added sugar in it at a grocery store in Hartford is theoretically paying a tax, some of which will be used to pay for
Lunch the next day.
Free school lunches for students in Westport and Greenwich.
I see what you're saying.
So you have, I think, two legitimate thoughts that are competing with each other.
I got to tell you, and again, we have political reporter Mike Cerulli here talking about this. What is concerning to me, Mike, is this is not, to me, sustainable, especially with the unknown of the future. There are two things you were talking about. The fact that whether or not tariffs on aluminum, that is a big deal. And for me, I think we also have right now a Secretary of Health right now, RFK Jr., who I wouldn't be surprised if some of these things are banned in the next couple of years. I mean, this is something he wants out of our U.S. market, and they're banned in other countries. So it's not out of the realm that
Trump
some of these
Diet Coke, though.
I've seen those pictures. I know, right? That's very true. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are too many unknowns that, to me, we're going to rely on taxing these drinks. And I don't know if you can then sustain. Are we going to be able to cover these meals in a couple of years or not? I don't see where this. I don't know.
Yeah. And when we talk about cost of living, you know, the Republicans made, they had an interesting point. Obviously, it's 2 cents per fluid ounce, this proposed tax. So your average can of Diet Coke or Coke or whatever would go up by 24 cents. And if you drink multiple cans a day, 2-3 cans a day, as many people do, or if you, that adds up over time.
Right.
I think it has to be noted, if you're worried about the cost, particularly of that can of soda or that can of beer going up, a 25% aluminum tariff on aluminum imports would have a big impact on that as well.
Right.
And we don't know the downstream impacts of tariffs because, you take beer, for example. okay, you're taxing imports, you have retaliatory on your exports. Does that flood the American market with wheat and then drive the price of wheat down? Like, there's so many things that we don't know.
A lot of unknowns.
Yeah, is going to happen. I mean, I was talking to dairy farmers, and they were saying they worry about tariffs, not because of the importing of anything, but because if Canada, Mexico, and China levy retaliatory tariffs, the U.S. domestic dairy market will be flooded with excess supply, and that will crater prices.
Mm.
So you might actually see milk prices go down, but which wouldn't be good for the very powerful dairy lobby, who then might look to do something with excess supply. So it's like I said, there's all these strange economic circumstances created by tariffs and all of the regulatory environment you just mentioned. So I think the bottom line is people have asked me in the last like 24 hours, hey, like, is this going to pass? I think it's very unlikely that the legislature goes for something like this.
Gets it passed. Well, because the other thing too, Mike, is I hate to say this, and this is really coming from what we saw as reporters during the pandemic and we're facing right now. You know, we were given this money, this COVID relief money, because of the pandemic. And this year is the first time that school districts across Connecticut are going, wait a minute, that money's going away. It's gone. What are we going to do? We're seeing programs cut, positions cut, services cut, because we were like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I just don't think we can afford for another thing with our schools to say we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And to me, this is not there are too many unknowns to say that we should start taxing these beverages and that it's going to accumulate enough money to cover these meals for every student in Connecticut. I don't know if we have that strong of a model with this proposal. I just don't see it. And I worry that in 2 to 3 years, we're like, hey, you know what? We actually didn't make the revenue we wanted to off of these beverages. And so now we're back to the drawing board again. And we've got kids who may not be able to afford their meals anymore. That's a problem.
Yeah, and you have a governor who may very well be looking at running for re-election next year, who has repeatedly said he does not want new taxes on people of Connecticut. Now, the Republicans will tell you he's already broken. They will argue that he's already broken that promise. There is a increase, for example, to a tax that hospitals pay, that they argue will, a proposed increase in his budget this year to a tax that hospitals pay, that they argue, Republicans argue, will be trickled down to patients. It would be very difficult to argue that a bill with the word tax in the title
doesn't mean more taxes on us.
That is directly levied on, well, it's not technically directly levied at the point of sale to the consumer, but the cost will be passed directly on to the consumer. I mean,
right.
I was talking to the CEO of Geisler Supermarket yesterday. He operates on very thin profit margins, and he's like, there is no even consideration that we're going to absorb the cost of this. It will just get passed on to the consumer. So that's a political consideration. There are a lot of Democrats, particularly Democrats who represent urban areas, who take one look at this and go, heck no. Even among the Democrats who chair the committee that writes taxes, one of them is not necessarily on board with this. So it's
okay.
If people are worried about it, I would just say the likelihood that it passes is pretty low.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that. And Mike Cerulli, we appreciate your excellent reporting as always. This took up our entire conversation today, so I guess you're going to have to come back because there's way more happening up at Hartford that we need to dive into. But I don't have the time, unfortunately, today. I appreciate
okay,
you. I know you will. Oh, yeah. I know, Mike Cerulli. We appreciate you. News 8 political reporter Mike Cerulli here on WICC.